Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right, go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I want to give another quick testimony. We a couple weeks ago we were in worship, and Tim leaned over to me. We had a lot to do that morning. It was really busy. I was thinking about how quick can we get through all of these things that we had in front of us. And Tim turned to me and goes, "I feel like we're supposed to go after healing right now." And I'm thinking, "Oh man, we got so much to do. That's gonna take time." That's on my honest first thought. How many of you guys know yielding to the Holy Spirit doesn't always just look like excitement to yield to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes it just looks like yielding to the Holy Spirit, right? So I said, all right. And so I said, but I don't have anything. I guess we'll just go after a general healing. And I stepped up here and immediately got like five or six things from the Lord that God was going to heal. So hands shot up all over the room. We prayed for people. And then I heard the Lord say, there's a few people in the room that are praying for some. Their hands are laid on somebody else, but they're actually being healed of allergies right now. And I heard that really clearly from the Lord. And those are one of the kind of healings that you're like, you don't go like, well, go test it out. Cause you're like, I don't want you to die. I don't want, just whatever happens. But, we had a young lady this past week message me, and she said she was accidentally eating some cookies that had a significant amount of dairy in them and nothing happened. And she thought back to that word because she felt like that was her. And then so she felt brave enough to test a couple other things, got completely healed of her dairy allergy. And then we had another young lady this week message me and who also had a severe dairy allergy. In faith, she started testing a few things, and she's been completely healed of a significant dairy allergy she's had for 30 years. So come on, isn't that amazing? It's pretty cool. Yay. Can you give another thing that we're really thankful for? Last night, we have something really cool happening in our city. You guys have a group of pastors in your city that actually like each other. Isn't that amazing? I know I've been a lot part of a lot of pastors' networks where pastors they get together for the like obligation of church unity, and like what can we accomplish together without crossing the boundaries of our doctrine. And they like tiptoe around each other, and they're like, we'll just serve the poor, and they just get together and talk about how they can serve the poor, and which is wonderful. But you actually have a group of pastors in the area that actually really like to get together and pray and encourage for each other and are not tripped up by the things that we disagree about. And it's pretty amazing. There's a real spirit of unity on our city. And last night, actually, Pastor Alan Imes from New Beginnings, they just celebrate 25 years in the ministry that they've been leading at New Beginnings. How many of you know that's amazing? And he and Melanie are just such a mother and father. And last night, on their own dime, they took out like 20 of us out to dinner and paid for us to have appetizers, dinner. They gave a gift. They honored all of the pastors' wives and like gave them presents and gifts. And they just like lavished our families. And just a name of love to see healthy families leading churches in Central Maine. Isn't that amazing? So thankful for Kingdom people. And God's doing something special in our city. So get a lot to be thankful for, huh? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And this is kind of what I want to get into today. If it's okay, if I could say this, I don't want to just give us this morning a token Thanksgiving message, if that's all right. But I really do, in this idea of us considering Thanksgiving, probably on Thanksgiving, many of us in the room will do an obligatory go around the circle, what are you thankful for? And we weren't ready for it, and we rushed out of the house to get to the Thanksgiving dinner, and we'll just say the first thing, just thankful that there's a roof over my head and my family, and we just kind of move on, and we don't consider it, we don't think about it, but we will be presented with the challenge to ask ourselves regularly this week, what are you thankful for? And I know it's actually a really sweet time to do that, and I don't want to knock on it at all, but how many of you guys know that there's actually an attitude that we have been invited into on this side of the cross to maintain a thankful heart through all things and all seasons. And I want to actually dig into how profound and powerful and how much of the supernatural blessing of heaven that we might be robbing ourselves by actually not practicing Thanksgiving. Is that all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, everyone say everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a big statement. The will of God for your life is that you would give thanks in all things. That word to give thanks actually means to recognize or to acknowledge that God's grace works well for you. That word to give thanks in all things, it literally means the will of God for you is to acknowledge and to recognize that the grace of God works well for you. That it hasn't skipped over your home and landed on your neighbors. There's seasons of God's grace and not seasons of God's grace. It is that when there is a lot or when there is nothing, when there is favor or when there's resistance, thanksgiving in all things means to acknowledge that there is an efficient measure of a sufficient measure of grace for your life, and it works. Then all seasons that you'd recognize that. It's actually not to go, let's see, I'm thankful for my house. Okay, you're thankful for something that you have. I'm thankful for dinner. Well, okay, you're thankful for what you have. That's great. That's awesome. It's a good start. But it's actually learning to actually find the things that you don't have in the absences of your life, that there's actually a lens of faith that looks into the absence of something and recognize that there's a reason to be thankful in the absence of something. That in all things, that with a lens of faith, we can actually see what God is doing and his grace is being manifested in that place. We did this practice the other day with our girls. They were having some bummer attitudes. You know, you could give your kids like 100 things, but if there's one thing they don't have, they're going to let you know it, right? And so we're in the car. We don't know really how to respond to our children. My wife and I are literally having that look going, are you hearing this? Like, we're looking at each other like we have like no words. Like, and any parents like know that look? Like, I don't even know how to respond to you right now, you know? And so my wife turns around. She goes, we're going to try something. She goes, I want you guys to list off 10 things that you're thankful of. We're going to turn our attitude around right now. 10 things you're thankful of. And, you know, Addie goes down the line of all the things. And then Maggie goes, you know what I'm going to do? Maggie goes, I'm going to tell you what I'm not thankful for. And she goes, I am not thankful that my sister goes to school and leaves me at home every day. And she's, so my wife and I just landed that plane. We're like, we're going to work on that. But giving thanks in all things means that we are acknowledging that God's grace works well for us. We're thankful that God's grace is sufficient in all seasons. And this is the will of God for you in that all seasons, that you would see his hand. That you'd actually recognize him. That we would actually learn the ongoing and intentional awareness of God's grace in your life to be present-minded in his sufficiency. That in even the areas of difficulty and trial and struggle, that we are not just acknowledging, well, I'm going to ignore what we don't have and think about what we do have. This is not the depth of thanksgiving that you're being invited into. We're actually being invited to recognize the presence of the Lord and to sit in awareness of it. Like, even in the most difficult trials, I can feel God in this place that I'm in right now. And God, I'm so thankful that you poured out your spirit so that I could have grace in this season of life and all that I'm going through. I'm thankful that when I get a bad report from the doctor, I'm so thankful that I serve a healer and that your grace is sufficient for me. You know, in seasons where it's really difficult, and, you know, we can look at all the news and all the headlines and get overwhelmed, and we can just say, God, I'm so thankful that I serve the Prince of Peace and that he has a peace that surpasses all understanding. And we could actually sit in moments of absence and actually recognize that God's grace works really well. Look at Philippians chapter 4. If you don't want to jump there, I'll just read it to you. But Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Everyone say always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Don't you love this, like these all-inclusive words? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men and be anxious for nothing. And then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How many of you guys know that a request, it only comes out of the place of absence? I am looking for you to do something, to provide something, so I'm letting my request be made known. But what does he say? Let your request be made known with thanksgiving. And then don't settle in any anxious thought. And don't give in to any form of complaining, and don't be anxious about anything, but always rejoice to the Lord and always give thanks. And then he says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. How many of you guys know that in thanksgiving, there is a transaction where we yield our anxieties to the Lord and he brings supernatural peace in moments of anxiety and worry? Because in the moment of absence, when we begin to recognize that God's grace works well for us, that it's always available, I can actually stand in the middle of the fire and worship him. I can stand in the middle of the desert and I can worship, and I can turn deserts into springs, and I can stand the moments of uncertainty, and I can give thanks because I know who God is, I know his presence is here, and I know all that I need is available to me, and so I can give thanks, and he will take my worry and give me shalom peace. Here's the crazy thing about shalom peace, though, is that shalom peace doesn't just mean, the word here for the peace that surpasses understanding is shalom. And it's not just, calmed down emotions. It's not actually just absence of havoc. It's not just, absent-minded of the problems. It's not just the removal of awareness of problems. The shalom peace of God actually means wholeness. It means that when all the essential parts of your life have been joined back together, it means healing, it means deliverance, it means restoration, it means breakthrough, it means tranquility, it means the exemption of rage, it means the restoration of relationships, it means harmony and accord to all the anxieties. Anybody has situations in your life that are not singing harmony to each other? It's like this, I got some things in my life trying to sing and they are not singing the same song. Right? And this means shalom peace means everything comes into harmony and sings the same song over your life. It means the Messiah's peace that leads to deliverance and salvation. It means the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ and fears nothing from God and content with its earthly lot. Peace is not just feeling okay. Peace is breakthrough. And what we have to understand is that when we acknowledge in any season of life the sufficiency of God's grace for us, and we're being present-minded in God's provision, it releases victorious breakthrough over your life. It releases a supernatural peace. It actually releases this like covering over your heart that you're walking through trauma, but you don't come out traumatized. It actually means that, like, even those who have PTSD that begin to get triggered in moments of anxiety and worry, thanksgiving could actually take all the fractured thoughts of your mind and puts them back together. It actually releases healing when we become present-minded in God's sufficiency and grace and begin to give thanks for it. It actually takes the heart and it begins to heal and restore that which is divided. It's not a pass that just gets your mind through it on the other side of it. It actually heals, restores, and it actually brings breakthrough. I think oftentimes when we start talking about Thanksgiving, I think that we can really undermine the power of the message of Thanksgiving, especially when your pastor preaches it at Thanksgiving week, right? And we preach it, and it's our one time a year that we preach it, and we go, well, that was nice. We fellowshiped over Thanksgiving as a family, over the word. Wow, this is a biblical model of things that we can do. We'll do it this week, and we just kind of forget how powerful it is. Can I show you actually from, we've talked about the power of Thanksgiving. Can I show you the power of not being thankful? And I think sometimes when we flip the narrative, we flip the script, and sometimes we like recognize how powerful this is. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want us to see the power of what's happening when we withhold Thanksgiving from our own soul and recognition of the Lord, what's actually happening when we don't give thanks. You ready for this? Verse 20 of Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and they were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. This passage of scripture is about to get into, and so God gave them up to the lusts of their flesh. God stepped out of their situation, and man's mind, will, and emotions became corrupted, and they exchanged that which is natural for that which is not natural. And it gets into the whole storyline of how sin corrupted culture to the place of absolute hostility towards God and towards righteousness. And the beginning, he actually lays it out. This is how corruption enters into the mind, the will, and the emotions of man, is that God is visible, but the moment that we stop acknowledging God's visibility, and we stop recognizing his divinity, and we actually stop being thankful, that futility enters into the heart, and we become detached to his nature, to his goodness. And in so doing, we cut ourselves off from the lifeline of his presence. The degrading of man's nature, the distance created between God and man, the growing of the lust of the flesh, the sinful behavior of man, the idolatry in the heart, the darkened mind, all began in the lack of acknowledging and thanksgiving in God's goodness and grace. And we have to, do you see it? That in the absence of Thanksgiving, man and God become distant and brokenness prevails over our life. But in the presence of Thanksgiving, the God of peace is with you and wholeness is restored to areas of brokenness. That wholeness comes to divided thoughts. That wholeness comes to divided families. That wholeness comes to divided relationships. That wholeness comes to divided emotions. That breakthrough is released into your life. But when we withhold Thanksgiving, we distance ourselves from the life of his presence, and we go on our own, and we become more futile and more futile and distant from acknowledging his presence, that he could be standing in the room and we don't even see him. I'll be honest, this is one of the reasons why I know that church is conservative, right? I know that in church we need to be quiet. I know that in church we need to hold our composure. Go to Gillette Stadium and you can lose your flipping mind. But if you are in a church, you better hold yourself together. Tom Brady throws a touchdown. Well, I guess Mac Jones throws a touchdown. Lose your cool, man. Get indignant. Somebody gets saved or healed. You guys hear what I'm saying? There's something about where we distance ourselves from the reality of God, that God did that. Somebody lose your dang mind. Somebody flip out. Somebody get insane. Here's the thing. When the church distances themselves from Thanksgiving, we distance ourselves from the life of his presence and the supernatural power that's exchanged in the atmosphere of Thanksgiving. We have to be a church that loses its mind over the sufficiency of God's grace, that he is a healer, that he is a savior, that he is near to the brokenhearted. That we actually are so thankful that we can feel when God is standing in the room and moving and doing something, we recognize it because we've been practicing awareness. That God's grace is sufficient. Churches that don't celebrate and give thanks when God does something is a church that will miss him when he comes again. One of the things that... One of the things that I want to encourage us in, not only this week, but right into the DNA of our church and into our body, is practicing not only thanksgiving for the things that you have, but awareness of God's presence in moments of absence. And what I want to encourage us in is, if I could say this. I have a challenge for you. I want to encourage you to step into every divided and broken place in your life and begin to give thanks. If you have a broken marriage, if you have a broken relationship, if you have a broken heart, if you have an area of disappointment, I want to challenge you to find a way to step into the absence of what that situation has created for your life and begin to give thanks. The things that feel out of your control, the things that you feel like you cannot do in your own strength, the things that you tried to do in your own strength and you found out you can't do in your own strength, the things that you try to take control of, the things that you have worked so hard on and you're waiting for and you're starting to give up hope, the area where hope deferred has made the heart sick. I want you to imagine that place of your life as a room, and I want you to walk into the room, and it might feel empty, it might feel desolate, it might feel dark, but I want you to stand there and I want you to begin to become aware of all of the sufficiency of God's grace in his presence and begin to watch light come back into that room and watch his presence furnish the atmosphere and make place for the restoration of his will in that area of your life. Does that make sense to you? Is that okay? Use that analogy. Walk into the arena that you feel disappointment in and give thanks until you begin to see the breakthrough. And ask for supernatural eyes to see. I don't know what to give thanks for. Begin to give thanks for the things that are on its way. Begin to give thanks for the things that you have lost all control of, but you know that only God can do it. And begin to give thanks saying, God, I'm thankful that in my weakness you are made strong. And the things that I have no control over, you can show up into places where you're not even wanted. I'm thankful, God, that you are a comforter to the brokenhearted. God, I am thankful, Lord, that you know my children when I don't know my children. I know that you can have my spouse's heart even when I don't have their heart. I know, Lord, that you can turn the eyes and the hearts of man. And I'm so thankful that your grace is sufficient. And enter into the arena of disappointment and give thanks until life comes back. And I feel like a part of this, if I could even present this, because I have 5 minutes until you're allowed to leave. I'm just kidding. One of the things that the Lord really spoke to me about this week is about a church coming back into the joy of repentance. The metanoia, the repentance. We've always believed that repentance is feeling sorry for my sins and out of my guilt, confessing my sins and asking for forgiveness for it. But I want to present to you the word metanoia for repentance actually means to change the way that you think. And I think a lot of times we're asking God for things to change, but we're not actually repenting for the thoughts that we held so dear. There are actual people that we've held grudges against, and you know why you did it, and it might have been legal. But God is actually, you're going, well, I'm just going to let that go, and I'm still going to avoid them when I see them at Hannaford. But at least I'm not, you know, sending, you know, hate mail anymore. Right? But there's something about actually changing the way that you think, not avoiding, but actually beginning to turn to blessing and beginning to use your words to release blessing over their life, beginning to pray for them. Repentance is saying, Father, I'm sorry that I have held a belief about somebody else that you don't have. So I'm going to begin to see them the way that you see them. I'm going to change my ways or change my mind to change my emotions, to change my behaviors. And I'm actually going to bless that which once cursed. Sometimes the doorway to Thanksgiving may begin with repentance, where we go, Father, I'm sorry. And I release all of my anger, disappointment, and frustration that denied your involvement in my life. And I'm entering back into the arena, and I recognize you could do anything. Is that all right? And I really feel like the Lord wants to bring the joy of repentance. I really believe that a lot of us need to repent a lot more. And it's not because we sin regularly. It's actually because our thoughts stink. And we don't have his heart and we don't have his mind. And God is inviting us to get his mind and his thoughts. And so we repent for holding thoughts that he disagrees with in order to release the oil of grace to change our way and actually releases a supernatural ability to do something you couldn't do before because you repented. Is that all right? Yeah. So here's what I want us to do this week. I'm going to say it one more time. I feel like the Lord wants us to repent for the ways that we have thought and believed that didn't align with his heart. And then enter into the arena of the absences in our life, the divided places of our life, and begin to give thanks. And watch the life, the shalom, peace of God enter in. Yes. I think Thanksgiving is going to provide that for a lot of people because there's some mild levels of anxiety about lingering problems with family that we're going to have to face on Thanksgiving Day. And God is inviting us to repent and to begin to give thanks. Yes. Is that all right? Yeah. All right, why don't we stand together?